James chapter 1, your copy of the Word of God. I'd like to speak to you for a little while with the help of the Lord on this theme. Let's ask for wisdom. Let's ask for wisdom. We've been journeying through the book of James the last few weeks, and would you pray, and you can continue to read ahead, because God willing, we'll stay in the book of James. We might pause for a week or so later in December, but as the Lord leads, we'll continue to work our way through this book and asking God to help us to grow spiritually as we do. How do we know whether we're supposed to take this job that's been offered to us or not? How do we know that? How do we know if this is the one I should be dating and someday marry, potentially? Obviously, you would never date someone that you wouldn't consider marrying. That's kind of only logical, isn't it? But unfortunately, in this day and age, that's not necessarily the thought process. But that's not what this message is about. But how do we know these things? How do we know what is the right decision for our family? How do we know? How do we know if I'm supposed to buy this car or not? You say, come on, pastor, really? Yes, really. These are things that we need God's help with. Every one of these things I've mentioned should not be run into haphazardly. Every one of these things that I've mentioned should be seeking God's wisdom. And by the way, you cannot find wisdom anywhere else. It's only from God. This world is filled with knowledge, but knowledge doesn't cut the mustard. We need wisdom. I need wisdom. How does a church know what to do about a certain matter? How do I know if this person is someone I should be close friends with? You need wisdom. It's not if they are this person has a good personality, and this person is a good athlete, and this person is handsome, and this person is beautiful, and this person has money, and this person is famous, and he or she are cool. That's who I want to be my friends. I don't think that's I don't think that should be the litmus test of who my close friend should be. Now, we're supposed to be friendly with everyone. I hope that's your motto in life. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But we need to guard who we are close with. How do we know how to make those choices? What college, what university am I supposed to attend? I'm in grade 12, grade 11, and I'm getting close to that time where I'm going to make some decisions. Am I going to go into the workforce? Am I going to go into a college or university, trade school? What am I going to do? I hope you're not just flipping a coin. Heads is this, tails is that. That's no way to live as a Christian. But it seems that in some cases, even born-again believers, that's almost how they live their life. Let me just see which way the wind is going today. And James even writes about that in this text. We're going to get to it. No, how do we know? What is going to help us? It's not a what, it's a who, by the way. Because as a believer, you don't need any what's, you just need one who. And that who is God himself. Isn't it amazing that as children of God, we have the opportunity to tap into the Creator's wisdom? The one who in 6 days spoke this world into existence desires to let you know the simplest, simplest decisions of life, even to what car should you buy or not buy. Seems like it's a good deal. But what about praying about it? What about asking for wisdom? Let's ask for wisdom. The very first verse that we read this morning says, if any of you lack wisdom, let's just stop right there and say, you could write there in the Bible, all of us lack wisdom, or I lack wisdom. You could write it for yourself. That's the first really place. It's not really in my outline today, but that's the first place I need to come to is humility and saying, I need wisdom. I'm 52 years old. You know, I've done this and I've done that. So what? I need wisdom. And everyone here, you need it. You need it for everyday life. You need it so that you can avoid some, I need it so I can avoid and we can avoid some pitfalls. Oh, if I would have only been a little bit more patient about making that decision. Oh, if I would have only been a little bit more prayerful about that decision. And yes, okay, let's not cry over spilled milk. Sorry, I'm using way too many of these things today. Let's not worry about the past, okay? You can't undo the past. But what we can do is we can learn from this book right here that God has a cupboard full of wisdom. All you got to do is go up to the cupboard and open the door. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That giveth to all men liberally, and it braideth not, and it shall be given him. I would commit this verse of Scripture to memory as well if I were you. I would mark it in my Bible. I would put it on a 3x5 card and put James 1:5 on one side and put the verse on the other and take it with you and carry it with you until it becomes part of your every fiber and being, that every day you might even relate to that verse every day for something. You know, cornflakes or Rice Krispies. Okay, maybe we won't go that far, okay. Wisdom. We need it. Number one. As we look through these verses today, we're just going to journey right through them. Number one, wisdom is necessary. It is necessary. The word wisdom comes from the word Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, and it means considerably more than just knowledge. One individual said this: a person might memorize the entire Encyclopedia Britannica and yet act like a fool. Just think about that for a minute. We got a lot of people. I'm not downgrading learning or knowledge, but knowledge doesn't make someone full of wisdom. And we have a lot of people, even in our institutions today, that have degrees longer than you could imagine that have this much wisdom. Because you can't have wisdom apart from God. You can get all kinds of knowledge, but we're not talking about that. Another person said this: wisdom is more than the intelligent apprehension of knowledge acquired. So we can sit and we can take it all in, and every day at school, and we should, and pay attention when you're in school, but that's not wisdom. How many of you have ever heard of a guy by the name of Einstein? You ever heard of that guy? Okay. You know, he had more knowledge probably in his pinky than I do in my entire body, filled with knowledge. But this is interesting. Most people would say that Einstein was even at the genius level. Probably so, and by the world standard. He was a very intelligent brainiac, all right? Probably more knowledge in that man, literally, than several people combined, we could say. Sadly, though, he would not even acknowledge the Big Bang Theory, which I don't believe in. I'm just saying, he would not even acknowledge the Big Bang Theory because it could be saying there was a creator. That's Einstein. You know, his head was this big with knowledge, but very little, if no wisdom at all, I would say, in that case. Now, we have a book called the Bible. This is the Word of God. You have your Bible, can you just kind of hold it in your hand for a minute? Maybe it's in your lap, and I'm disrupting your note-taking and everything, but you have a Bible, and we can hold it in our hand, and I love this one. I love every Bible that God's given me, but this Bible was given to me when the church started. 1 week after the church started, a group of people came here, and they gave me this Bible. This is not the original cover. The original cover, it was done, and I got it rebound, and oh, I love this. I love the Bible. So I hold in my hand, and you hold in your hand this morning, from God, the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures, whatever, there's all these different titles we can give to them. We hold in our hand the Word of God, and wisdom takes the principles in this book and applies them to our everyday life. That is wisdom. That's why when you think about all those questions that I asked you at the beginning of the message, those are everyday life. Maybe not every day do we think about every one of those, but those are everyday life things that come into our coming across our path. What am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? How am I going to respond? Even how am I going to respond to this situation? Even in a family dynamic, there's things that can be very challenging. How am I going to respond? Well, we can have the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God comes from the Word of God. And it is necessary. It is necessary for our everyday life. It is going through those times of letting patience work, as we spoke of recently, the way Jesus Christ would and did. When the trials of life come to your life and mine, this is not an excuse for me to live outside of the will of God. Well, because this has happened in my life, I am now permitted to live a different way or act a different way. That is not true. I am still supposed to follow the principles that we find in the Word of God. How do we follow them? That's where wisdom comes in. Wisdom is needed. Wisdom is a gift from God. We are to ask for wisdom. In fact, I would hope that this is on your daily request list from God. Because when you leave the house in the morning, and I leave the house in the morning, I have no idea what is coming. But you know, God does. And God is already there. And God is saying, I have wisdom for you today, Ben. I have wisdom for you today, Colton. I have wisdom for you today, church. I have wisdom for you, and you're going to need it because I know what's coming. And many times I don't ask for wisdom, and when I get to what's coming, I panic. Now, praise God that he's willing to 911 it every once in a while, okay? And I got to just, but wouldn't it be better to live with wisdom already acquired, wisdom acquired through the Word of God? This comes by meditating on the Word of God. This comes by memorizing the Word of God. This comes by speaking the Word of God on a regular basis, so that when these things come into your life and mind, that is the context, by the way, of what we're reading. If you weren't here the last few weeks, if you just follow James 1:1 down to where we are now, you're going to find that the context of this is a challenging time, a difficult time. And James is saying, you need wisdom during this difficult time. So ask for it. Wisdom is definitely necessary. Wisdom is required. It is necessary. This individual that we're reading about here, they are not living on Easy Street. I don't think anybody here would say, yes, everything about my life, Pastor, is easy peasy. No, it's challenging. Every day we wake up, there might be something else coming. And you know what we need for that day? We need wisdom. We need to be able to take the Word of God and apply it to, like he says, if you'll just let your eyes scan up to verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse what? Temptations. Challenging times. We preached on that a couple weeks ago. So many of you that have been saved for a while, you've read the book of James. I would challenge you, if you haven't, start reading the book of James. You could read it every day. Really, once a day you could read James, at least one chapter a day. But see, the context here, he's saying there's challenging times, there's diverse problems, which means they're coming from all different directions. And so then he says, if any of you lack wisdom, by the way, again, that's all of us. There's something that is available for you. There's something that is available for me that is outside of me. We are not self-made people. Okay, we are not self-made. As a Christian, you are God-made. Okay? Don't worry about this. Where is it made? You know, made in here, made in this country, made in that country. We're only buying stuff made here, made there. No, no, no. As believers, shelve all that. You're God made. Period. God is doing a work in your life and mine. He who began a good work in you, he who began a good work in me, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is faithful. He's bringing these difficulties, but he's not abandoning us and saying, okay, now you figure it out. No, what he's saying is, you're in the middle of this. I've allowed it for your good and my glory. Now, if you need wisdom, just ask. Powerful thought. Number two, so number one, we said wisdom is necessary. Number two, wisdom is requested. Just ask. Look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, yes, my hand is up. Let him ask of who? God. Let him ask of God. Not let him ask of the professor, not let him ask of the best friend, not even let him ask of your spouse, not even of the pastor. Let him ask of God. God is the full and forever, think about this, God is the full and forever resource of wisdom. And I'm glad that you can come to me and you can say, Pastor, pray with me about this. I don't really know what to do. That is not a problem. I'm not saying don't do that, because then what are we going to pray for? Wisdom. I don't know if I should have this procedure done. I don't know if I should take this job. I don't know if I should move over here and buy this home. I don't know if I should switch careers. I don't know which Bible college. I don't know this, that, and the other thing. But well, who does know? Who can help you? God. Wisdom is requested. Ask here is for something to be given. Okay? Ask, the meaning of the word ask, because there's more than one meaning of the word ask, right? I might ask Brother Colton to vacuum the carpet. That's not the word ask here. The word ask here is for something to be given. So I am asking God. You are asking God. You are claiming His word. God, you said right here, look, God, right there. You said if I need wisdom, I do, God. Please help me to have wisdom. Help me to know, God, how to communicate to my unsaved family. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but I think a lot of us in this room have unsaved family. Do you know what you need to be able to communicate with them? You don't need to have the Romans Road memorized. That's not the key, by the way. It's not, well, I got 135 verses memorized. I'm not downplaying that. We talk about scripture memory all the time, but you need wisdom to know which verse. You need wisdom to know which thing do I say, which thing do I not say. It's not saying you're hiding stuff, but God's word is sharp. It's powerful. Oh, but we need wisdom. And only God knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. So God has wisdom available. So the word ask here is saying, I need something. God is and always will be the source of wisdom. Would you go with me in your Bible to 1 Kings? Maybe you're thinking about this passage even now. 1 Kings chapter number 3. Wisdom. Wisdom is necessary. Wisdom is requested. 1 Kings chapter 3. By the way, the goal of the Christian life is to honor the Lord. The goal of the Christian life is to glorify God. The goal of the Christian life is to please Him. It's not to be successful in the eyes of the world. Okay, knowledge might get you that success, but what will get you to please God? Wisdom. What will help you please God? What will help me please God? Wisdom. Yes, we need faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Again, we get that faith where? From the Word of God as well. 1 Kings chapter number 3, verse number 7. And now, O Lord my God, Thou hast made Thy servant king instead of David, my father. This is Solomon speaking to God. I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. What is he saying? I need what? Wisdom. Do you see it right there? I don't know where to go, right? I mean, the Word of God is so amazing, isn't it? Because all the way through the Word of God, weed for the Word of God, God has put everything in there that we can relate. We're not King Solomon, but this is the king saying, I don't know what to do. If King Solomon is saying, I don't know what to do, you know what? I'm saying today, I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to go out or come in. Wow, I've always thought, in reading more of this recently, I thought, that is just an amazing statement. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen. A great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. So I'm in the middle of this gigantic group of people. We can't even figure out how many of them there are. And I'm in charge. Verse 9, give therefore thy servant, and here we go, an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern. That's another good word that we need to pray for. God, I need your discernment. Between good and bad. And you know what I might say? Not adding to the word of God, but I think it would also be good to ask for God's wisdom and discernment between good and best. Because I am a firm believer there's a lot of good things that are taking too much time in Christians' lives when they could be doing the best things. So that's maybe just food for thought, okay? For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? He says, I can't do it. I mean, I don't know whether to go out or come in, and I'm in the middle of this gigantic group of people. I feel like they're everywhere. I mean, there's just millions of people, and who's going to be able to figure this out? I need you to help me discern between the good and the bad. This is when God had gone to Solomon, for time's sake, just quickly, this is when God had gone to Solomon and basically said, what do you want? What do you want? Wow. I mean, that's what you call blank check signed by God. Some of us would say, boy, I don't know. Understanding heart, that's not for me. Oh, I don't know. You see, that's the flesh thinking in me or you. Okay, let's just face it. We would all think of something besides an understanding heart, okay? Let's not try to be, Dr. Theology Man or Mrs. Theology Man. We would all think of something in the flesh. But Solomon says, I need an understanding heart. Go with me now, if you would, to verse 16 of the same chapter. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, Oh, my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered that this woman was delivered also. So we have two ladies that have just had babies, two women that have just had babies. And we were together, and they were living in the same house. Nobody was there, just the two of them. He says that. No stranger. 18, 19. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. So a switcheroo was done there. Sadly, the baby died. It's very sad. It's very sad, isn't it? She arose at midnight, verse 21, and when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son. I mean, every mother knows their child. That's not going to be too difficult, all right? And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, the dead is thy son. And so here we go, right? What are we going to do? Solomon says, Good and bad, I need help. I don't know whether to come in or out. And now he's presented with this. I mean, we've read the story. I've read the story. I don't know how many times I've heard it talked about. But I mean, can you be in the moment with King Solomon for a moment? Can we be in the moment? Not reading it like it happened, thousands of years ago, but you're sitting on the throne, right? You're sitting on the king's throne, and you have these ladies coming up, and I mean, they're emotional, and the one lady's really hot, and she's like, just think, she's mad, she's steam rolling out of her head, and sad, and one says this, one says that. Very convincing. Then said the king, verse 23, the one saith, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is living. So basically, he just reviews the situation. And here's the wisdom that God gave him to find out who was who. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two. Oh, what in the world? This is wisdom. This is not knowledge. Give half the child to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. She said, Oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divine. You see Solomon's wisdom by saying, Give me the sword, cut it in two. God gave him that wisdom. That was the understanding heart that he asked for. Then the king answered, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Notice this, and all Israel heard of the judgment. Can you imagine the talking at the water cooler at work the next day? Did you hear what happened at the palace? You didn't hear about it? You didn't see the update online? No. You missed the Twitter feed on that one, huh? Okay. Solomon did this unbelievable. I don't know how he thought of it. And they feared the king. Notice, for they saw that the wisdom of God. Mark it down right there, verse 28. They did not see the wisdom of Solomon. They saw the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Wisdom is required. God provides wisdom. This is definitely a situation where we would say, well, I probably am not going to have that kind of situation coming up anytime soon, Pastor Turner, but let me just say, if you follow what's going on there, that's exactly what God is saying for you and me to ask for. God, I need an understanding heart. I need wisdom to know what is good, what is bad in my life. And you know, God has custom designed a path and a plan for you. Again, what is the purpose of life? To glorify God. And you and I, we are sinners saved by grace. If you're saved today, you are a sinner saved by grace. But God has such a beautiful plan for each of our lives. But we need his wisdom. They saw the wisdom of God. Wisdom is requested. Number three, as we go back to James, wisdom is necessary. Wisdom is requested. Praise God, wisdom is obtained. Look at verse 5 of James 1:5. And it shall be given him. It reminds me of Matthew. I think it's Matthew 7:7. Matthew 7:7, God's number twice there. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And to him that knocketh it shall be open. I'll stop right there. I can't remember what's next, all right? But you get the point. God says it shall be given him. I like that word shall, don't you? Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not saved here this morning, there's only one way to be saved. It's through Jesus Christ. He died, was buried, and rose again. We'll talk more about that in a minute. It shall be given him. To ask for wisdom, though, and ignore the word of God is foolishness. To ask for wisdom and ignore the word of God. Let me show you something. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. God's word is amazing. God's word is amazing. I'm just thankful I have a copy, aren't you? Let's pray for those 84 copies of the New Testament that are going out to first responders. Possibly some of those men and women do not have a Bible. Putting the Bible in their home is the best thing we can put in anybody's home, a Bible. Because you have no idea when they may pick that Bible up and start reading it. And it will lead them. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look what the psalmist said here in Psalm 119 and verse 98. Thou through thy commandments, that's a word in Psalms 119 specifically, that it's talking about the Bible, the word of God, hast made me wiser than mine enemies through thy commandments, through thy word. For they are ever with me. What is ever with them? You know, you might say, is it the enemies or is it the commandments? I would say, yes. Yes, okay? When I read that, my first thought is the commandments are ever with me. The commandments of God are ever with me. The word of God stays with me, okay? But notice verse 99. I have more, what's the next word? Understanding. What did Solomon ask for? What kind of heart? Understanding. Same idea. Then all my teachers. Careful now, don't use this in school tomorrow, okay? Pastor Turner, guess what he preached on yesterday, teacher? I have more understanding than you. No, don't do that. For thy testimonies. That's another word. For the word of God, testimonies. For thy testimonies are my, what's the last word? Meditation. All right, what are you meditating on? What am I meditating on? Am I meditating on the diverse temptations? It's hard not to. It's hard not to meditate on the temptations. That, remember, that means trials. God does not tempt any man with evil. Okay? But he does test our faith. And we find in the book of James later on, faith without works is dead. Okay, and so start putting it together. The psalmist says here, I'm meditating on thy testimonies. I'm meditating on the word of God. And as we come back here to James, if any of us lack wisdom, ask of God to give it to all men liberally, meaning he gives it to them just all out liberally, just keeps going and giving and giving. And it shall be given him. We have the book of Proverbs you can read every day and you can gain wisdom from. 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. We have the parables of the Lord Jesus. I'm just naming a few things. You can do a search and read about the parables of the Lord Jesus, and Jesus Christ is the greatest teacher ever to walk the face of the earth. Amen to that. And I'm looking forward to sitting at his feet in heaven and hearing all that he has for us to say. Whatever all that's going to be, I don't know, but I'm ready to go and listen to the Word of God from the Word of God, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But we have the parables to gain wisdom. Beautiful stories that Jesus told while he walked the face of this earth. We can gain wisdom from those. We have the Sermon on the Mount. If you've never read the Sermon on the Mount, go home today if you have time, or tonight or tomorrow. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. There's a lot of wisdom just in those three chapters. Jesus Christ, powerful preaching of the Word of God. We have the epistles that the men wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And I mean, on and on it goes. I'm just saying, this book is filled with wisdom. To basically say in the morning, God, I need your wisdom, but never open the Bible. God is saying, you have it right over there on the counter. Pick it up. And guess what? Then we say, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. As we read the Word of God, it is preparing us for what is ahead. So that we, yes, maybe we still have to stop and pray and seek God's wisdom, but there are some things that will come into your life and mine that we can be prepared for already. Remember, decide before you have to decide. You know what helps me decide? Wisdom. Wisdom to know how to choose, as King Solomon said, between good and bad. Wisdom is obtained. Now, we notice something else quickly here in verses 6 to 8. I believe number 4, and lastly, everybody likes that word, and lastly. Okay, don't put your shoes on, ladies, all right? It's a long point. I'm just teasing. I'm just saying what other preachers have said in my life, so I don't even know if that's true. If you have shoes off, that's okay. Believe me, I have my shoes off most of the time now during the day, so it'd be all right. But I do wear them for church. Amen. Number 4, sadly, I see that wisdom is denied. Allow me to show you from the Word of God, at least from my view here. Verse 6. But let him ask for what? Well, it's got to be wisdom. Okay? Let him ask in what? Faith. Okay. So we can't just sit down in the morning and, you know, just like a robot and say, God, give me wisdom. Have a great day, God. I'll see you tomorrow. I don't know that there's a lot of faith in that. I don't know if there's a lot of genuineness in that. I'm not saying anybody would do that. But he says here, ask in faith. Then he says, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. Okay, this word indicates there isn't any faith. There's wavering. Let me show you an example of the opposite of wavering. Go to Romans 4. We took our theme from this verse several years ago. If you were around, you'll remember. Romans 4. Nothing wavering. Think of that statement as we read Romans 4. I'm glad all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable. All of it. All of it is profitable. And it weaves together by the Holy Spirit of God, not by the pastor, by the Holy Spirit of God. And, you know, you read your Bible every day, your eyes are going to open up by the Spirit of God, and you're going to see things. You're going to say, I read that verse 3 years ago, but I see something completely different now because it's alive. Okay? Look at Romans 4, 19. And being not weak in faith. This is about Abraham. He considered not his own body now dead. Okay? He was 100 years old, all right? Wasn't really time to have babies anymore, okay? That's kind of what this is talking about prior to Isaac, all right? When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah. Sarah's, I think, 90 years old. I don't think we have any candidates for that at 90 and 100 going to have babies. Okay? But notice, he staggered not. That's the same idea as wavering. Nothing wavering. He staggered not. He had full faith that even at this age, God was going to send the promised child. Faith. He staggered not at the promises of God through what? Unbelief. unbelief causes me to waver. Unbelief causes me to stagger. But was strong in faith. There was our theme a few years ago. But was strong in faith. Giving God, giving glory to God. Nothing wavering. Then notice, if you will, he says, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Think about that statement. Driven with the wind and tossed. What does this mean? One thing I believe we could say about this, this is someone who is going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the reason why we can say that is because in verse 8, I believe this ties together, because then he says a double-minded man. This person is going back and forth. He's going from this person to that person and this person to that person, seeking advice, hoping to hear what he wants to hear. That's not a good way to get advice. Yes, we can ask multiple people, but not because we're waiting to hear what we want to hear. This is being tossed around. Another way we could look at this is we could say, in our world today, we will allow the world system to toss us around from this thing to that thing, and we won't be using discernment and wisdom. And here's the answer to it in verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything. God says this is not the way to get wisdom. I gave you the way to get it. This is not the way. And then James says in verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This double-minded word, this two words means basically double-souled. In other words, he cannot make a decision. By the way, refusing to make a decision when the time comes is making a decision. Imagine a man today standing at the bus stop. He's standing at the bus stop, and you drive up, the bus driver drives up. There's a whole lot of people there. And the man is standing there. Or I guess it could be a lady, but we'll just pick on the men. He's standing there, and it's his bus. It's the 10-whatever. Yeah, which one is it? The 118? Or 180? Anyway, you've all got your numbers down. And he's standing there, and he's got his arms crossed, and he says, I don't know if I should get on there or not. I don't know if I should get on there or not. He's double-minded. Should I get on? Should I stay? Should I get on? Should I stay? I mean, that's the bus. It's got the number on the top. He's ridden it every day. But he goes out to the bus stop and he stands there and he's double-minded. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I'm not talking about somebody who might have a challenge. Okay, I'm a normal person, all right? I'm not picking. I'm just saying this is what it means to be double-minded. And by the way, that bus driver is not going to sit there until sundown and wait for that guy to get on the bus. He's going to close the doors. He's going to drive away. And guess what just happened? A decision was made. A decision was made. In this case, it was the wrong decision. Because indecision was his decision. God does not save you and me to live a life of indecision. You know what that means? Not making a decision. God saved you, and God saved me, and God gave us, think about this, God gave us the scriptures, okay? Here's the way to remember it. They all start with S, okay? God gave us the scriptures. God gave us the Spirit, His Spirit. God gave us the saints. He's given us these three things to help us in our decision-making. Ultimately, He's given us the scriptures. We don't have to live a life of indecision. We don't have to be sitting around wondering, should I do this? Should I do that? No, we go into the Word of God and we say to God, God, I want to decide things based on truth. I want to decide things based on principle. I want to decide things based on the Word of God. God, I don't know good or bad. God, I need your wisdom. and I'm not going to stand around bouncing back and forth. I'm going to, when you show me the way to go, I'm going that way, and I'm staying with my head and my feet pointed in the right direction. God is saying a double-minded man is like trying to go east and west at the same time. It's not going to work out too well. Many people will be in hell for all eternity because they were double-minded. Double-minded. What are you saying? Because some people, they have the religious part of their life, but then they also know Jesus. They even know Jesus is God's son. They've heard all these things, and they even hear the truth, but yet there's still that double-mindedness because I can't break free from whatever it seems. What happens is they fail to make a choice. By not making a choice, they are like the man at the bus stop, like I said. By the way, doing nothing with Christ is the same as rejecting Christ. Joshua chapter 24, Joshua told the people, make a choice. Make a choice. Don't be double-minded. Choose you this day. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, we won't turn there, but he told the people there, he said, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time. Church, it's time for you and for me to ask for wisdom. And not for the sake of our own success, but for the glory of God. That this body, this tabernacle that I have and that you have, with whatever time we have remaining, that we would not be tossed around with every wind of doctrine, that we would not be like this person on the sea, driven with the wind, tossed. Know that we have our anchor in Jesus Christ, and we have our anchor in the Word of God, and we have our anchor in the wisdom of God, and no matter what winds come our way, no matter what, as it says there, in the temptations that come our way, we have our anchor in the Word of God, and we have the discernment and the wisdom to choose right. It's available, because he says here, I'll give it to them. I'll give it to them. It shall be given them. It doesn't matter this morning if you are a four-year-old. They may not understand all of this right yet, but they will. Let's keep training them and teaching them and praying for them. Or if you're somewhere in between four and whoever the most mature person in the room is, we all need wisdom. Go with me to John 1. We close with this text. So we have our last point, and now we have closed with this text. If Brother Gord was alive, I'd look at him right now and say, we're making our final approach, Brother Gord. Final approach. John 1:12. But as many as received him, received. That's what we're talking about today, received. Whether we're saved or not saved. We need to receive Christ if we're not saved. If we are saved, we need to receive wisdom. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let's ask for wisdom. Young person, you know, we have from age 4 to like 35, even going back maybe right around in there, let's just say 4 to 35, we have a lot of people in that number. But here's my concern, especially those that are, let's say, 15 and up, 14 and up. They're making decisions based on knowledge, not wisdom. Knowledge will only take you so far. Yes, we should be educated. Yes, we should do our best. But you don't need knowledge over wisdom. You need wisdom. I need wisdom. Let us ask of God. And God says, but you've got to ask in faith. Don't go this back and forth. Look, let's be a soldier for the Lord. We sang in Sunday school in my day, onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the cross of Jesus, going on before. Let's get that mentality again, maybe. Let's get it for the first time. Let's get it once again. Not angrily, not that kind of thing, but we love God and we need wisdom to march forward for the glory of God. Let's pray.